This show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all of the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals for free. That's right, free. Just go to blueapron.com/Joey and start cooking incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/Joey. This show is also brought to you by Texture. Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. When you do that, you'll gain immediate entry to all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. That's right, just go to texture.com/Joey right now to get a free trial of the app Texture. And the show is brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of your first order of their great underwear, socks, t-shirts, all of their great products. Shipping is always free in the U.S. and Canada, and you can save $8 a pair with MeUndies subscription plans. That's MeUndies.com/Joey.
Oh shit! You bad motherfuckers! Monday, April 4th. A little something for the Jews. Get up and dance, cocksuckers. It's all about you. Oh shit! Out of respect. Listen to that fucking rhythm right there. Again, when black people were black people. Listen to that. Are you fucking nuts or what? If you're Jewish, get up, cocksuckers. Who gives a fuck?
Salute the flag.
Salute that fucking flag. You're in the office. Fuck them all. Let them know. You ain't fucking around today. You're taking names. Making things straight with the fucking Nazis. Let's do this shit inside. Here you go. What? You wanna? What's the story there, beautiful motherfuckers? Monday, April 4th. And here you are. Another fun-filled episode of El Churcho, or what's happening now, oh, with my main man, Lee motherfucking Syed. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Oh, that... I love that hash.
I tell you.
It's a little harsh going down, but it's just
nice.
Great. It's
beautiful. You hear a little buzzing in your ears like your mom smacked you. You ever get smacked by your mom, your earrings for like 22 fucking minutes after that. You're like, this miserable fuck.
My mom didn't do it that much, so I still have vivid memories of like, it used to slow down for me. Like, time used to slow down the couple of times she got mad. Like, I butt-dialed her this weekend. The last time I butt-dialed her was when I was high with you, and it was before a podcast, and she got pissed. So even now, I'm about to be 28, I'm still scared of my mom. A little bit.
You should be. It's not like scared, but you respect her judgment and, you know, whatever. Mom's got your back and shit like that, so you should be a little fucking scared of moms. You follow me, cocksucker? What else? You like the hash?
Like the hash?
It's smoother. You worked out this week. You spent the weekend with mama. You came to Brea with me Thursday night.
Brea was fun.
Brea was a lot of fucking fun, man, this weekend. You know, I'm starting to love doing comedy again. You go in your ups and downs like anything else in life. You just go through ups and downs. You do something so much, you take it for granted, you know, and you don't realize how lucky we have it that I'm allowed to write jokes and go up on stage and fuck around with your people and smoke pot and take pictures afterward or whatever. It was rough going out and seeing people this weekend. Only people who knew waited and came around the back. I got a lot of tweets from people who were pissed off, but you're right there. That's the kind of club that you're right there. I don't want to take pictures of people on the street. Cars are going by. That's how people get hit by fucking cars. Somebody got hit there.
Right.
Years ago, somebody got hit out there one night. People were taking pictures and shit, so I'm always scared to go on that Brea fucking Boulevard, whatever it's called. But besides that, it was great. Some great people came out, dropped off some albums. You got a little Suavecito shaving cream.
I'm excited to try it.
Aftershave, a little something from them. They got me hair products, but you obviously go fucking hairless. Not that I'm making fun of you.
I don't mind it at all.
You just chose to shave your head. So some people came down with some great weed. You know, it's just... It's really nice to be a part of something nice for once. I was always a part of shitty things. And it's always really nice. Like, You know, somebody was saying the other day they had PTSD, and I giggled. And it's like when I leave the house, I always expect the worst shit to happen, so I'm not disappointed. So when something really nice happens, like those three nights, even in the green room, even Jack Jr. and
Johnny Rock
and Tommy Easter came down Thursday and fucking blew it up for you Tommy Easter fans.
He really did.
He's been doing comedy for a fucking year, and I'm really proud of him because he lives in his van. And I like the kid. I like the kid a lot. And I'm trying to teach him something from a different angle because he's seeing it. He's seeing that everybody down there that he's doing these little open mics with is coming from a weird angle. The first thing when you choose any career is to choose the right attitude going into it. It makes it a lot easier. This is from a fucking old beat up guy. I had so many jobs and so many great opportunities, but I went into a bad opportunity. I went in there with bad attitudes. Not
were
bad
you negative
attitudes.
About it?
No. I was not negative about the opportunities. I was weak-minded about the opportunities. I never gave them a chance to blossom. Before you give up on an opportunity, give it a chance to blossom either in your direction or the other direction so you know exactly where you stand before you really give up on it. You know, somebody offers you a job loading trucks. It's 12 to 9 at night. Your girlfriend's miserable because she doesn't get to see you. It's always little things like that that you have to make a decision. So sometimes I get late. The word isn't lazy. I get
complacent.
Complacent. That's why when I first left the store in 2007, I was very happy because it gave me a new chapter of comedy, and it really did. It gave me a chapter of comedy without the store. 7 years is a complete different chapter of comedy. And I bummed around, and I started going to the ha-ha, and I developed this little act late night because she let me work late. And next thing you know, Gabriel called me to do that show, and I was doing Wednesdays in Brea. So there's always something going on, you know. And I don't know. You do get complacent about anything. I get people. I know people drive. Like my friend Timmy was driving for a while. He wanted to do something different. You know, if you don't get complacent. I don't ever want anybody to give up on your dream. But after a while, you have to take your dream and do different avenues with it. It's still that same dream, but you're doing different avenues with it. But at the same time, I don't want you to give up like I never gave up. I never gave up. I'm not going to lie to nobody. Mentally, I never gave up. Sometimes on the outer core in 2009, I didn't know what direction I was taking this before podcast. And I never really gave up. I just readjusted everything.
It's amazing that there's not more. You always hear a life coach or something like that, job mentor, whatever it is. It's amazing there's not more of it because that's the entire reason why I am paying a lot more than I need to right now to go to this kettlebell class. You told me, like, buy some kettlebells and just do them at your house. The reason why I can't do that is because I'll get complacent in my workout. I won't do that extra set. So it's amazing.
Knowing the situation before you go into it, Lee, that's all I ever want people to know. You know why? Because I went into so many situations that I know dick about. And I had to learn the hard way. How many times do I fucking get in your face about getting into situations that you know nothing about? What do you want to get into that situation for?
And
because we all do this. It's our natural curiosity to, you know this going in. And I'm so proud of you for that. You can go to kettlebells on Tuesdays. Hey, man, when I do those kettlebell things, I swear to my mother's grave, I put a timer on, Lee. And I count them out because I know I'm only cheating myself. But a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people in life don't know that. You know, we were kids in gym class, and we'd do push-ups, and we'd do 14 instead of 20. And we'd look when the coach turned away. You only cheat yourself.
I was the king of that. I was the king.
King of that.
Oh, my God. I would never king do any, like, hard work.
No. Why would we? I'm not even putting a blame on you. Why would we? If they're not looking, why am I doing this? This is what character is all about.
But then when I would say that, my mom especially would be like, the coach is always looking. Like the coach, even if they're not looking, they're like if they're a good coach, they're looking
they're
and
looking.
They'll see that.
They know.
Like that's
they know by
when
your
you slack
work
off at work,
they know.
Your boss knows that
so
you're on.
At an early age, you're starting those bad habits, which we all do. You don't think I did it? You don't think I did 9 sprints instead of 13? You don't think I just sat there and touched the line when he turned around? I'm fucking lying to you. Yes, I fucking did it.
Of course, everyone, yeah.
But then, and you keep doing it. It's how long you keep doing it, Lee. You could do it till you're 50, like I almost did. But one day you could stop when you're 26, like you actually did.
I've done it with, I appreciate the compliment. I've done it with some things, and it's like...
You can't do them with everything, but eventually the percent... No, the percentage gets higher.
Okay, that's all you have to keep working for?
As you get older, the percentage gets higher. For 9 months, I walked around in a bad mood because of that fucking book. Thank God Gordon came into my life and eased it out. And I got to think about what I really wanted to write. And I read a bunch of stuff. And I said, this I don't like. There's books I read 10 pages and I just throw away. Like, I know in the 10 pages. Like, it's not going to get better than this because I don't like this style of writing. There's so many things. And then I started doing it. And that was the frustration. Once I started doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sentences a day, an outline, my life changed. Because I'm working towards a goal. And I never understood that at a young age. Boy, did it fucking kill me, Lee. Boy, did it destroy me. But then again, I wouldn't be here with you. These are the things you learn along your life that I wish most people who listen to this, you know, there's a lot of people that your father yells at you and says you're going to be a bum, and your mom says shit to you, and you don't listen to them, and then a fucking loser with a felony like me comes along, and you listen to me. And I hope you listen to this, that... You know, go for it. And if you don't like it, move on. But if it's your fucking dream, stick it out. That's why I really can't tell nobody. Like, even with comedy, I see guys doing it for 10, 20 years and they're not moving ahead. And it breaks my heart to go up to them and say something. There's a guy I started comedy with. And we did something once in 95 together, like a big show. And it was with a comedian. Well, guess what he just did 2 months ago? He did the same big show with that same comedian. He still lives where we started. And every time I talk to him, there's always an excuse. But you know what, man? When I talk to him, he's happy. So who the fuck am I to decide what a person's career... That's what we do, like when we're 40 and 35. We think about these friends that we have, these so-called friends, and how we should tell them and whatever. I have a hard time with that. I can never get in somebody's face about their fucking dream. I'll get in your face about being lazy. Oh, in a New York Minute, I get in your face about being lazy. You know why? Because 20 people got in my face about being lazy. And guess what I did? I never raised my hand to one of those people or called them a cunt. I walked away fucking pissed. But after 10 minutes, this motherfucker...
You start looking at it. And that's... It's tough telling other people what to do. I haven't reached that point yet.
No, you can't tell somebody what you do. But you could tell them in lightning form. A lot of people don't fucking know. A lot of people really think that you're supposed to get up and drink coffee and sit there for an hour and smoke fucking cigarettes because they see some jerk off on TV doing it. They don't know that you're supposed to fucking get up, take a fucking shower, brush your fucking teeth, you know, smoke a cigarette or two, drink some coffee and get up and go. It's early at 8 in the morning and you're sitting there, you know. There's got to be some way you're able to go. I used to have a friend, George, when we were kids. I couldn't be around George in the morning. Couldn't be around him in the morning.
What do you do in the morning?
Depress me.
Like what?
Depress me. The typical kid that the world has to wait from. And again, that was me with a mom.
Right.
That was me with a mom. That was me. That's a kid with a safety net. You know, he would get up at 7:30 and stay in bed till 8:30 smoking cigarettes. I never saw that in my life. He would sit in bed for an hour and listen to Howard Stern. You know, Howard Stern is great, but he ain't putting a dime in your fucking pocket. And you ain't getting nothing from it. And you're 20-something.
A lot of people, that's honestly why I like this 9 a.m. class, because I would sit on the phone.
Since I met you, how many times have I been tormenting you about getting out? Listen.
The entire time.
I'm going to tell you what the biggest secret in life is. Getting out of the fucking house. Get out of the house. Get out of the house. Nobody ever repeats my jokes, Lee. Nobody ever repeats the stupid shit I say. But do you know how many times people come up to me and whisper in my ear, hey, amen? Thank you for getting me out of the house. Nothing good happens on the couch unless you find change and you're satisfied with the 35 cents under your cot. Nothing. I don't care if you go to the corner and put a newspaper on your own. And make believe you're looking for a job at 9 in the morning. Just do me that favor. For the first week, just get out of the house at 9. Even if you just go to the corner, hit the mailbox, and walk back, and go right back to sleep. You took a shower, you ate, you made some notes, you wrote down your goals, and you got up and you walked. I don't care if you're home by 10:15. I don't give a fuck if you're home by 9:15. As long as you leave the house. Because after a while, leaving the house catches on. It becomes contagious. and you realize, let me go for a walk. Let me go for a longer walk. Let me go for, look at this, a pizza parlor with a help wanted sign. And here I am walking around looking for ads. Let me just start with a help wanted pizza job. You accomplish something.
Absolutely. And you accomplish something. And when I get up now, like I had a dream this morning that you called me at 6:30. I was sure when you called me at like 7 that you would call me. Oh, you did call me.
I'm just fucking with you.
But
tell him what I said to you.
I couldn't remember. That's why that's the one thing we call me.
It's something about fucking Jews are telling you to wake up.
Oh, and yeah,
just hung up on you.
That's why I thought it was a dream.
I did that to like 3 of my friends this morning. They called back. What'd you do? Nothing. Don't worry about nothing.
That's why. Like sometimes when you call me at like 6 a.m, I'll have to I'll pay attention to the call. But then as soon as you get off the phone, I'm like, I have no idea what he said.
No, everybody does. I always say, you sleep and you go. No, I was just here thinking, right? Doing emails. I know when somebody's asleep.
Well, not at 6, at 7.
I've woken up 10 million people in my life on purpose. Do you understand me?
Why on purpose?
Because I got to get them up. You got to get up, cocksucker. You got
to
get up.
But I'm up. It's late for me on the weekends to sleep till 9.
9 o'clock.
That's late.
There's no reason. And you got to get her up, and you got to accustom people around you to get up. And they'll get up. And they'll see it your way. Because I never saw it. If I got one thing out of Denora, if I got one thing out of my mother, it was getting up early to say hello to the sun. That stupid saying has stayed in my head since I was 4. She used to throw me out of the house. She used to say, oh, para che, but patio. That means get to the fucking backyard. We had no backyard.
Which meant you had to go and walk around.
Get the fuck out. Yeah. Get the fuck out of the house. When I'd be in the bar playing those stupid pinball games, she'd walk over and take the quarters off and go, that's it, enough. Go. Out. Go walk. Go get hit by a fucking car. Do something. But you can't stay here all afternoon in this darkness.
When you first, it's different because your mom passed away. But when you were away from that, did you ever like to stay home? Like, because my mom was like that.
No.
And I rebelled later and stayed
in. I understood where she was coming from.
Oh, I didn't.
Once it got down and dirty in my life, is when I found out how important that those things are. When they got down and dirty. You know how many comics I call here and they're not doing nothing? I want you to take a fucking piece of paper and a pencil and write down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you pick out the open mics. Pick out 2, 3, 4. Pick out how many numbers there are and which ones are the more important ones. And you'll know which ones are time consuming, which one you can zip in and out of. I just want you to get off the couch every night and do a spot. If you're a plumber, I want you to get up every night and do a kitchen. If you're a painter, go paint a room. All these things add up. You know, I used to, at night, when I quit high school, loser Joe Diaz, thief, burglar, piece of shit. I still went to class twice a week from 7 to 10 at night. Took something. Intro to plumbing, I took a Teterboro fucking International Institute. Me and Tommy Russo, whatever that is.
Like you bring people to take class with you?
Like a vocational school. I talk you into it. I talked people into it. He took welding. I took plumbing. We quit after 6 weeks, but we still went. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand? If it's available to you,
yeah,
take it. I just got something in the mail a month ago from, I signed up over here for kids thing at this park, North Hollywood Park.
Oh, like a
if
camp?
If you walk behind there, they have a bunch of things. And I got something for vocational. People who are this age with this type of income. You get a free vocation talk to you. So what? You got to go apply for a job. Or so what? You got to sweep. Somebody's trying to teach you something. Go learn it. If you're under the fucking income limit, go learn it.
I just read this thing, and I know it's not that new, but Starbucks has this thing where they're giving, I think, all employees tuition reimbursement to, like, Arizona State Online, which isn't Harvard, but free tuition to get a degree. When you're in, like, just working at Starbucks, how amazing is that?
You imagine. You work 30, 40 hours, whatever the regulate, whatever the rules are, you have to work, and then take classes online. They can't hand it to you any easy. They can't hand it to you any easy. But then again, I got to see what the guidelines are for Starbucks.
Let me look it up. I think it was pretty lax. Like, when I saw it, it was like, now accepting even part-time employees. Let me look. It just, but that's, there was a big story about how a lot of people say, oh, like, I had a lot harder when I was younger. College was easier. And people younger, like 20-year-olds, are getting shit for that. And what they said is like something like 70 or 80% of kids in college now have either part-time or full-time jobs.
Yeah.
When they just, and it was something like 30% back in the 70s or 80s. It's just, it's crazy what people need to do to get
with the tuition to college. Parents are having a hard time just sending their kids to school.
Oh my
God. The kids got to help out a little bit. If your tuition is 20 fucking G's a year, Lee, you gotta help out a little bit.
And that's low.
Okay.
Honestly, that's so low.
Let's pretend you got a job and you pay $5,000 out of 10 a year. I could live with that. I could live with that. And you should be able to live with that.
Oh,
as
yeah.
long as you're not taking complete school loans.
I was very lucky. My parents were, they got split up. So the deal that we made is we each pay a third. So I got, there's a lot of kids who are stuck with the whole thing. So I got very lucky in that respect.
You know, and you get stuck with these things. And what job to come out to? Look, you came out and you had a couple of different options. Right now, you're creating a position, which I talk about a lot. Creating a position is always what advances the future in this shit. It's always one. It started with one guy making a fucking iPhone.
Yeah.
Part-time, you know, like just it. Those, when you were a kid, if you ever write down how many different things you did, you know, you probably went to ballet, you played PE yeah. football, you played baseball, you joined Aikido. You didn't like Aikido because your friend Nick went to karate. So you went to karate. From there, you wanted to play the guitar, but your friend played the guitar, so you learned how to play the bass. You did that all for 2 years. You know, we do all these things. Then we shed different things along the way, and we pick up the things that we're strong at. You know, so if you're a baseball player, by the time you get to high school, even though you lettered, even though you played Billy basketball and 13 to 50-year-old football and Red Raiders, you narrow it down to one thing and work on that. Correct?
That seems like that's how my life went. My mom always, I always wanted to stay home all summer and just like watch TV, and I was never allowed to do that. It used to piss me off. She would sign me up for stuff. And in high school, remember, I got signed up. I hated it when I was there, but looking back, it was probably, I signed up for the only two video classes at this vocational high school in the town next to me at a summer camp for kids. Like, and that's, honestly, that was the summer before high school. Wow, that's great. I never thought about this. That's the summer before high school, and then starting freshman year, I took every video class they ever gave, and yeah, wow.
The more I learned how to speak English, the less television I watched. So by the time I was 9 or 10, my television skills were very limited. I couldn't wait to get out and talk English. I couldn't wait.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I couldn't wait to get out and see a new word. You know, at that time, I was putting words together in my head. I mean, by the second grade, I had learned pretty good English. I was getting good grades. I was taking aptitude tests and passing them. But I couldn't wait. It was different for me because I couldn't wait to go outside and speak English. I couldn't wait for those things. You know, TV really wasn't. Well, I think in the first and second grade, before I got like a little, after I got hit in the head in the lunchbox, before I went to karate was the only time I would stay at home. I would go home, eat like a sandwich and do a little homework, and then I would get walked to karate 3 or 4 days a week on the Upper West Side. So I was always one of those guys that I watched TV, but it didn't dominate me.
Oh, I loved it.
Then as I got older, you know, then there came a time when I got settled and I watched The Honeymooners. But that was at night. That was after 10:30. I never really got myself into it. Then I watched Sanford and Son Fridays at 8 and 9. That was a certain time period for me. And I watched Chico and the Man. But that wasn't going to happen every night of my life. I would watch Welcome Back, Kotter. Or there was a movie on a thing on the other night, The White something, White Shadow. It was a show on CBS about a white coach with a black basketball team. So I definitely watched that because I was into basketball and I wanted to go to college. So I wanted to see what the lifestyle was like.
Was it you just not liking TV, or was it like a rule from your mom?
I think it was a combination of three things. Even at an early age, I liked television, but I didn't like the control.
What do you mean?
I didn't like the control it had over me. I didn't like that there was times I would sit in front of that TV for 3 hours.
Oh, easy.
That's why I hated Star Trek. And I'd turn it off at 6 o'clock and I'd go do something else. Like, I just hated it. The more I did it, I hated it. And even today, I come home, I'm doing a couple things. If my wife is in the living room working, she's got the TV on, listening to CNN or whatever. And sometimes I'll sit down, but the most I could sit down in the daytime is maybe 15 minutes. So I won't watch anything. I'll just sit there having a conversation with her, thinking about my next move. But I'm really against that. I'm against a lot of things that have held adults back over the years. When an adult talks to me about The Simpsons, I get very aggravated. When an adult, you know, I really do. Because these are things that hold. When I see two adults talking about The Simpsons, I want to stab all fucking three of them. But this is me. Do I hate The Simpsons? No. But this is just me. There's so many, you know, these super fucking hero movies. They're eating my insides out. They're eating my insides out.
But why does the subject matter? Like, for example, so why is it okay to go see?
Because you're an adult. After 11, you take the hat off with the fucking propeller. And that's it with the fucking superheroes. That's it.
Okay.
There's no more towel around your neck. Well, how old are you when you realize the towel doesn't work around your fucking neck? About 12?
Sure.
Yeah. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. We live in a society now that there's adults going to see fucking, you know. When that theater happened, that shooting, and those parents were there with their baby at the Batman shooting in Colorado. Right, in Colorado,
yeah.
I would have pulled them out and shot them both in the fucking head as parents, because that's the best thing I could have done to those two fucking scumbags. Okay? That's the best thing I could have done. So the both of you go to see Batman at a midnight fucking showing with a newborn fucking child. This is why I don't like those fucking dumb movies.
It is.
I wouldn't go see Batman versus fucking Superman if you fucking paid me. After the first Batman, there's no more reason to keep making Batmans and suckers for keep going to see him. Spider-Man, same fucking thing. I can't see this shit. I can't see adults going to see this shit. It destroys my fucking insides. Okay? Okay, Joey, but you went to see karate movies. Yeah, I was 13. And once I was 13, I realized people can't fucking fly no more. People just can't jump off the floor and throw a sidekick at 22 fucking feet. I saw a movie one time where a guy had a treasure chest, and he threw it up in the air, and all of a sudden he landed on top of a mountain and he caught the treasure chest. There's no reason to watch that anymore. That's how it worked in my life. And part of it was I got my light shut off, so I had to decide what was important and what was not. But I'll tell you right now, when something like Superman versus Batman or a Deadpool or something like that does well, it breaks my heart deep down inside. It breaks my fucking heart deep down inside, because it ain't 9-year-olds with a balloon that are going to see that. It's fucking dummy adults. And every time they go, they're going to make another one of those movies. When you create those markets, they keep making them. They get worse and worse and worse. You know, 600 million people for Spider-Man versus Superman, and nobody liked the fucking movie.
Marvel has their schedule up until like something like 2020.
I know.
I saw a graphic about it the other day.
It's amazing.
What about Comic-Con? Because that's all. I don't think they have kids there at all.
Listen. I like a celebration of things. How long you know me?
5 years.
I ever go to one of these weed things?
No, not that I know of.
No. No. You know how many times George used to beg me to go to Comic-Con and sign autographs for The Longest Yard?
Every year?
You know how embarrassing it would be for me to do something like that? Or sell shirts? Or sell posters from some movie and sign them?
How long do you think you'd last?
15 minutes, if you're thinking about me. But I know this going in, and I knew that 10 years ago going in. You know, I love the people who reach out to me and say, hey, we're doing this thing in San Bernardino. It's a bong fest or a reefer fest. Good luck. You're not going to see me there. You're not going to see me there. Even if you pay me, you won't fucking see me there. I don't want to be around that many people smoking dope. I don't want to be a part of that. I believe in smoking a joint from time to time. I don't want to see 400 people bouncing up and down like, you know. I don't want to see that. That's a complete different situation for me. People faking their high and their eyes are faking their clothes and then they're giggling like fucking retards. You know, I don't like that either.
It's getting back to kind of what we talked about the other day. We're just cutting the fat. But the other side of it is...
I've been smoking dope for 30 years. I've never acted like that. I've never gone to one of those things. And all the times you've been to my home, you see a magazine with weed on it or anything?
No.
You see posters on my wall with weed or stickers or anything like that?
No.
But I smoke more than anybody.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, it's like going to see the people when you ski, and you see people all dressed up in ski gear and the whole fucking thing with the goggles, and they ski for shit. It's like people go, you go see you do comedy, they do credits for 20 minutes, and they go up there and they suck. That's why when I do on stage, I don't want no credits. Just tell them Joey Diaz. They know I was in movies and stupid fucking movies and stupid TV shows. You come to see a comedian. I'm not going in to recite my fucking credits and to try to impress you with smoke. Let's see what you got on stage, fat boy.
That is interesting.
I'm from a different cut, and I've always made it difficult on myself because I've always believed it's a discipline. Every part of life that you want to move forward is a discipline. We spoke about John Jones last week.
Mm-hmm.
The exact time was 11:49 at night or 11:50. The fuck are you doing out at night? God, he's happy they didn't check his car. He's happy they didn't do 1,000 things. Yeah, there's reports that the cop is racist and all this shit, and the cop was a little picking on him in the fucking car or whatever, but this all stems from being out after fucking 9 o'clock. You got a wife and 2 kids. What the fuck are you doing out? Nothing's going to happen. That's a mental thing that you got to go, you know what? I'm not going out. I'm going to take this car. I'm going to light this fucking car on fire and bury it in the fucking desert.
Because
the least you want when you're under that supervision is that fucking type of car so people exactly know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Go trade it in and get 2 Kias and light that fucking car on fire. Get a blue one and a red one. They don't know who the fuck it is. You're just a black dude in a fucking Kia.
He hired a driver today. Did you see that? That's what he said?
Yeah, big fucking deal. It's too late now. Because now he's got that one strike against him. That means the next one he gets locked up. This could have all been avoided.
Yeah, just
staying. This could have all been avoided. He's looking at, you know, you look at the fighting potential, you look at all the shit he's got going on top of that, he loses millions for his family. By going, don't do nothing. Don't do nothing. You go right from the fucking ring, right to your shower, you take a shower. You don't even do the press conference. Why? You don't like Dana, and Dana don't like you. Oh, you got to assume that.
Yeah, I mean, he must be pissed at him, right?
Well, it's not pissed. Everybody's disappointed, but I'm not disappointed at John Jones. I'm disappointed that he doesn't have somebody in his corner saying, listen, after 9 o'clock, that's it. Take that fucking car and shoot it. Give it to somebody. Give it to a black school.
But how would you react if someone told you that?
At what?
No, like if someone came to you today and
guess
said,
what?
What?
You'd never have to tell me that.
Why?
Because in all that time, I got probation violations for snort and blow. Not for being out. I never got pulled over. I never got involved in a fight. You wouldn't see me after 9 o'clock when I was on probation.
But don't you think John Jones probably thinks he's doing just as well? Like, he's just like, oh, they're out to get me.
Well, they've been out to get him since day one in his cocaine mind. People are always out to get you when you're on cocaine. Okay? And the fumes of those feelings linger forever. Because I haven't done a line of coke in 9 years, and I still feel sometimes that people are out to get me.
That stems from all your cocaine?
Absolutely.
That wasn't there before?
No, absolutely. Fuck. It's always there. It's always there. But that thought of thinking over the years then makes it become a permanent scar and a permanent way of thought. It's like doing an arm bar 1,000 times. You get it, muscle memory. Ronda Rousey can get your pinky and do an arm bar on you. It's the same thing if you do it to your mind. If you keep telling your mind you're a piece of shit, you're going to be a piece of shit all your life.
I do that constantly. I think everybody's mad at me for anything. If someone doesn't reply to something, or I'll have, when I'm at home, I'll give Paula my phone sometimes and show her text, be like, was that rude? And she's like, no, they're just not responding yet. I always think someone's mad at me. I have no idea why.
I'm the same way. And I love it.
Why? It drives me nuts. Why do you love it?
Because then you think of the situation and you think of why they're mad at you. And sometimes they're not even mad at you.
They're not.
They just got stuff going on in their lives.
Oh.
But it's amazing to see where your mind goes.
Mine goes to the worst,
to the worst fucking things.
Oh my God, it's terrifying. Like, I'm trying to work on it, and I can talk myself down and be like, okay.
Well, the other night, you all worried. Your wife was mad at you.
Well, yeah.
She's mad at me. She didn't like the way I talked to her on the phone. She's mad at me. She wasn't mad at you.
No, yeah. Always happens. It always it's not even just her. It's you. It's Steve Simone. It's anybody.
No, sometimes you ask me, are you mad at me? Not at all. I just answer the phone. I'm doing 1,000 things, and your family, so I can tell you to go fuck yourself. Let me call you back in 2 fucking minutes. I don't have to play a facade with you. There's nothing worse than you doing something and somebody calls you. You have to take that call now and you're doing 1,000 things, and he knows you're not focusing, and you know you're not focusing, and you know you're trying to type. Somebody called me today, and I was at the end of a fucking paragraph, and I had to get the phone because he had already called me last night, and I was sleeping, so I had to get the phone. So I just picked it up. I go, hold on 1 second. I finished that fucking paragraph, and I got back on. I'm sorry, Doug, but you called me in the middle of something. I didn't want you to think I was being rude to you.
Right, and he would. And he knows you're busy, so he probably wouldn't have even – he would have understood if you called him back in 20 minutes.
Listen, you don't want somebody calling you twice unless you fucking hate that guts. I don't want you to think that I'm avoiding you. And sometimes you just can't pick up the phone when that – I have three people in my life that call me at the worst fucking time. Like, if they fucking call, I'm fucking doing something. You know, it never failed. It never fails.
For me, it
never fails. If I leave my phone upstairs and I leave for 2 hours and I come back, I can tell that person's always going to call. If I'm carrying groceries, that person's going to call. As I'm walking into an office for a dental, a pussy checkup, blood work, or whatever, that phone rings, I know it's that person.
Jesus.
It's amazing. And if they called 5 minutes fucking earlier, they'd be fine.
They'd be fine.
And they piss me off when they don't answer the phone when I call them back. Like, when I call you in the morning and you don't pick up the fucking phone, and then you bombard me at 6 when everybody else is calling me, I want to choke you. Because I called you 8 fucking hours ago. You're going to call me now at 6 when you know it's my busy fucking time. 5 to 7 is home run time. For more ways than one. The baby's on fire. It used to be that agents used to call and shit and tell you your audition. No.
Yeah.
Nobody calls me for business. The baby's on fire. So unless you want to hear chit-chat with a child yelling at you, don't fucking call my house. Don't call to talk to me between 5 and 7. Same thing from fucking 7 to fucking 10. I'm walking the baby to school. I'm not going to pick up the phone to talk to you. Not at all. Not even if it's my agent. Because I'm walking on the street.
And you have to pay attention.
And I got to pay attention. I got my child with me. I got no time to look into a fucking phone and play dilly-dally with somebody. In fact, I don't even take the phone when I walk the kid to school. Because I'm with my wife and the kid. I don't give a fuck. Unless you get hit by a fucking car, it's got nothing to do with me. I know you're home, so I don't give a fuck where the world is.
Right. It's scary. It's scary how much attachment we have to our phones. Our friend Becky.
That is why I leave the phone at home.
Right. Becky, our friend, works at a flotation place, and I was thinking about going, and she's like, okay, it's about between an hour and 90 minutes. I was like, I couldn't. What if Joey called between? Like,
No. Like, an hour is perfect.
Right.
An hour, that's something fine. To wait. But you can call your mom and go, Mom, I'm going into something for 2 hours. Don't fucking drop dead on me. And you call your dad and say, don't drop dead on me. And if you hear the phone ringing in the other room, you know it's some Joe Jerkoff calling you. And do you follow me? So I know what time people are going to call me. Listen, my agent don't get in until 9:15, 9:30. By that time, I'm back. And the other people don't get in until 10, 10:15. So I have no reason. I talk to you at what time?
7.
It's over. I leave the phone, I come here and I write, or I go drink coffee and I write, or I go outside and I write. I don't need to talk to nobody on the phone. When I walk to the school, the phone stays at home.
Does it really?
Yeah. When I go to jiu-jitsu, yeah, I'm with my family. What do I give a fuck? What are you going to call me and tell me? I don't know already.
But what now? If you like had an emergency? Like, you know,
what emergency?
I don't know. You fell and broke
my wife,
your leg.
Let her take the fucking phone with
her. Okay.
Let her take the fucking phone. She taxes. She does all that nonsense. When I go to jiu-jitsu, phone stays in the car. Unless it's 90 degrees, then it stays at home. Why would I take the phone into my fucking place of working out? For what? My daughter's at school, and my wife's got the phone if something happens to her. If something happens, when I get out at 1, I'll pick up the fucking phone and call you back.
Yeah.
No, I force myself not to have that piece of shit on me. Somebody was mad at me this weekend. I messaged you on Facebook. Number one, dog. I ain't got Facebook on my phone because I really don't give a fuck about it. I got two things on my phone that matter, my personal email and Twitter, and I'm about to drop Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Just do it straight from home?
Just do it straight from home. I don't want to be on Twitter when I'm out of the house. I don't be anywhere. I don't care less about none of that shit. Once I'm out of the house, Saturdays and Sundays, I don't look at Twitter. If you message me or put one of those things on my timeline, I don't know what it's called, you're in no danger. Don't bother me on Saturdays and Sundays because I don't even look at Twitter. That's the discipline, so I don't get controlled by it. I don't want to get controlled by that dumb shit.
Yeah, it's and like how much you probably don't, but when my internet goes out, it's like World War III.
No, you get the notebook and the piece of pen. It's even better for you. It's even better for you because you're back old school.
I'm too busy resetting.
It's really weird. You let control what you want to control you.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 years, I know what it was to get control because I was addicted to fucking heavy-duty cocaine. I didn't mind that control. That's a subliminal control. Those little addictions where you try to make plans, but you don't. Like, people used to call me, hey, man, let's meet tomorrow for coffee at 10. I don't think that's a good idea, dog.
10 was too early for you?
I was up, but I was in no mood to talk to you.
Time would you be in the mood to talk to people?
Whenever it was something to do about cash and how I was going to get another package of
cash
coke.
O'clock.
Cash or coke at those days. I didn't give a fuck, you know.
Jesus. And now it's completely different. Like, what do you have now? Does weed control your life like that?
There's nights I have a joint left. 10 years ago, I'd be going crazy. Now I just go, fuck it. That means I'll smoke a bowl tonight. A lot of times I don't do the morning joint because I got no weed.
Oh, so you used to go crazy because you didn't have weed?
Yeah.
Oh.
Once I went to prison, I fucking controlled my weed consumption. And I knew that you could give it up at any time. You know, I think last year, didn't I stop smoking for 3 months? I smoked a vapor pen.
Well, yeah, and you took edibles.
But I broke that mold. I still broke that thing. And then I realized that vapor pen don't do nothing. Excuse me, I gotta do the real smoky to get fucking stoned to the gills.
Oh, yeah, you really do. Or the hash.
Yeah. It's different, and that's why I used to say, look, for a year I've told you to get out of the house early. Now, you love it on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Oh, I can't wait.
As a matter of fact, now you can't wait. It's a trap. The house is a trap. The house is a trap for you. That's why all these people spend millions of fucking dollars. If you really spend time, you have to look at your schedule. Like, when you're 20, why do you think you have roommates? Because you go, I could sleep in a closet for $200. But then you go to the kitchen and there's ants in your food. And you go to the bathroom and there's a piece of shit in your toilet. And then you see the limitations in your life and you move up and you move up. But sometimes you're like, what do I do? I'm not even home. I'm the type of guy, I don't like being home. I like being home. I just don't like being trapped. I like getting sun. You know, sitting outside under a tree writing is completely different than writing in your notebook. Writing in your room, writing in an office, you know, typing on a computer in an office and writing longhand outside under the sun is two different fucking worlds. Two different energies, two different. It's amazing what happens to you.
Would you be as funny if you had to write inside, if you couldn't write outside?
It doesn't matter. I could write anywhere because I smoke dope, but what I'm saying is the comparisons of energy.
Okay.
It's like sometimes I like to go to jiu-jitsu. But there's some days I step outside the house and I'm like, I'm not going to jiu-jitsu. I'm going to go to North Hollywood Park and do 10 sets of 10 kettlebell swings and a couple cleans and a couple squats. And I'm going to walk around one time and get this vitamin fucking D that God's given us.
Sometimes the kettlebell guy has us do, the teacher Dave has us do some workouts outside.
Outside.
And every once in a while I'm like, come, God damn it, we're paying to be inside. It's cold out here. I'm outside in front of people.
It's sunny out.
Yeah.
The sun's shining. You know, it's nice to mix it up a little bit. That's why I never liked hiking. You know, hiking is just walking up a fucking hill with a stick and a sweater on like a jerk off. We went and hiked today. What are you fucking talking about? You took a walk up a fucking hill.
You're not a big running guy?
No.
I can't see that either.
Well, it's more of a movement. You know, getting up early and going up there with a bunch of people. The girls dress a certain way. Have you ever been up there?
No.
Have you ever taken a walk up there?
No.
Listen, you've never seen L.A. sheep. Until you go up there.
I've heard of it.
I went there one time in 1997. Okay, the girl I used to date then was one of these dumb fucks that used to like all that dumb shit. You have to walk. And they say, what are you fucking talking about? I snorted blow and ate your ass till 6 in the morning. You want to go for a fucking walk. First off, you got to walk up fucking, 6 blocks of city streets. You didn't know that, right?
No.
You got to walk all uphill from sunset all the way the fuck up there. Then once you get up there, you walk in. And now it's not like that no more. That used to be a dog park where fucking Fucko does yoga.
Yeah, Yogi Steve.
Where Yogi Steve does yoga there, that used to be a dog park when I got there. So when you're doing downward dog, you're sniffing some fucking dog fertilizer and shit. All right? Then there was a table there. There was a couple tables there. I had just gotten here. I had just gotten here in 1997. I didn't know what was what. I just kept my mouth shut and looked around. And I remember being up there. Like, I think I went up there maybe three times. And all three times, it was the same batch of stupid fucking chicks sitting at a desk. Like a picnic area.
Uh-huh.
Three tables. And sometimes it was one table of them, one time it was two. But it was the one batch of the same goofy ones. And you could tell either they had snorted blow till midnight or they would have done coke and then they'd go home and make themselves up to go to Runyon Park. And they'd wear the hats with the ponytails sticking out of the hat to really be fake. And they'd sit there at that time when I moved here. What was hot? That movie Titanic was hot. It was just out. And Leonardo DiCaprio was out every night. And these girls would call him Leo. I remember I had a dog then. Me and Carol had a dog. And we'd let the dog loose and Carol would walk and I'd wait for the dog. And I could hear these jerk-offs talking about how Leo had me over last night. It was tremendous. He played music, and he was the DJ. And in those days, Jack was still slinging dick.
Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson was still had young chicks.
Was he like in his 50s or 40s?
Something.
Yeah.
Well, he's 70 now, so he was in his 50s, still getting coked up, still having these young, and they were talking about Jack. Well, I went to Jack's last night, and they would just sit there, and that was it, and they would go over their lines. They would make believe they're rehearsing. In those days, there was a lot of auditions, a lot more. And all this table of girls would just sit there. I never read my lines in public, though. Like, just so people could see and they would be outside. And I just stopped going. Like, that just wasn't my bag. I couldn't. Even then, I hated that bringing your lines outside and reading them so people could stop you. What are you reading for? Oh, my God. I love Leslie Kahn. She's great. You know, get the fuck out of my fucking face.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. But it is, and you said this was going to happen. It's nice now because I go to the same class every day or every week, and it's always the same people. There's a few people who come in and out, but it's like five or six people who are always there, and I'm getting really friendly with them. So it's on the when they're not fake and when it's not a whole bunch of Hollywood bullshit, it's really cool. Like, I'm sure it's happening with you at Jiu-Jitsu now. Because you've been there like a month or two, right?
Been there since January 4th.
Oh, three. Oh, wow. Okay.
Last time I went to VMAC was January 3rd on a Sunday. Take a look. Take a look and see if I'm not lying to you.
Just okay.
Just getting my dates right because I don't like bullshitting people. I think that's what it was.
All right. 2016. January 3rd was a Sunday.
There you go.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I went to VMAC that Sunday, and I just realized I was with you, I think. Maybe that's the last time you went to jiu-jitsu.
No,
I had broken it up a couple times, and I went one time with you, and I went home. And that whole December, I was really disturbed because my jiu-jitsu was getting worse. My breathing was getting worse. And I just wasn't getting nowhere in my jiu-jitsu, and I got really down. I didn't tell nobody. I just went home and wrote about it. Like, what am I going to do about this jiu-jitsu thing? I was having a hard time breathing. I still had the fears. You know, every time I went to jiu-jitsu, I still had fear of what was going to happen. And I went online, and I was going to go to Street Sports in Sherman Oaks and try them out. I was going to try out John Jock Machado. I was going to try out Checkmate in Burbank. There was a couple schools who had a lunchtime class. I realized that I had to go to class Mondays and Wednesdays for me to be consistent, and that would be eight times a month. If I stayed in town, I would try to catch the Friday class. So that would put me at 10 times a month. That would still be good enough, not really good, but at least I'd be a little bit more consistent than I was doing now. This killed me from like September to December, and I love John Butter VMAC.
Oh, yeah, it's a great place.
A fucking great place. I love the kettlebell system, but John didn't have a Monday. And a Tuesday and a Wednesday. John had a Monday and a Wednesday. So I didn't know nothing about nothing. I fucking kept going to John. And then some Wednesdays I would go to Hegan. But for the most part on Wednesdays I couldn't go over the hill anymore, guys. It was killing me. I was leaving at 10 o'clock and not pulling back up to my house till 1:30, 1:45.
Oh, yeah, that kills your whole day.
That kills my whole fucking day. You know, and if I was a UFC fighter, yeah, I'd go to Hegan Machado. But all I'm a fat bastard. I just want to get flexible. I just want to get my cardio going. I wanted to get this fear of being on my back. And I knew I needed to do something consistent. So that January, like that last week of December, I wrote out the pieces of paper where what four schools I was going to go look at. Then I did one last thing. I called Eddie Bravo like a man. And I said, Eddie, do you mind if I paid for a black belt to come in at 10 in the morning in Hollywood or in HQ and teach jujitsu? And he said, absolutely not. Did I tell you this?
No, you never
said that. Because I don't want no fucking jujitsu, gi jujitsu. And I don't want no fucking kettlebells. And I don't want no fucking weights. And I don't want no fucking motions. And I don't want no fucking strings. I just want straight jujitsu, bro. They said like that to me. And I got to be honest with you. My feelings got hurt. I didn't talk to Eddie for like 2 or 3 days. But then I thought about his words. Now, here's Eddie. He's been to Abu Dhabi. He's competed. He's fought for everything he's had. You know, nobody liked Eddie because of his no-gi and his transition and what he did to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. People got mad at Eddie. Do you think that stopped Eddie?
No.
No. Eddie kept going and going and going and going. And what he was telling me in a way that day was that, you know what, Cokes, Joey, as he calls me, I don't want none of that shit in my gym. All I want people to do is jiu-jitsu. And I thought about that for a minute, and I go, wait a second. I'm so fucking scared of jiu-jitsu that if Lee calls me and says, hey, let's go deadlift and do the elliptical, I would not go to jiu-jitsu and go do the elliptical with him. I did everything I could not to do jiu-jitsu, even though I just went and did the most I could do. Do you know what I'm saying?
What do you mean by
like
that?
When I was
part?
Training with you, you said once to me that those Sunday and Monday classes, I liked them because we didn't do much.
Yeah, they were just a little bit easier because I was going to the Tuesday and Thursday day class, and Hassan is fucking a monster. He's so flexible and so amazing, and he does some things that I right now just can't do.
And it was hard and it was frustrating because
yeah.
They wouldn't even, the classes were small and they couldn't come over.
They were small. I was getting a lot of attention. Yeah. It's a great school, but it was just, I wasn't at that level. And the one class that I should have been able to go to Tuesday nights, I couldn't make it every week.
6:45.
Yeah, 6:45 on a Tuesday. And
it's
that's
tough. It was tough for me too. Yeah. I'm sitting on a couch with a baby going, I should be at jiu-jitsu, but I got a fucking family.
Right.
I'm not going to the UFC. I got to figure out a way to do this where it works for everybody and I profit. I was ready to quit jiu-jitsu. Last December, I was ready to quit jiu-jitsu. I just didn't know what to do and how to break it. I didn't want to get on the 101 to go to jiu-jitsu. I had to go to jiu-jitsu someplace fucking close to me. And those fucking little classes were not working. John Budd's a great teacher. He was teaching some great things. It just wasn't working compatibly for our body. You know, it was me, you, and Nick. That's it. When I was doing that, I was doing that to see if anybody else from the school would show up on Mondays. And we could show VMAC, hey, we got 8 people showing up. I'll pay for this fucking shit. We got 8 people showing up. Let's start a fucking class at 11. Let's start a class at 10:30. But it never plateaued.
No.
So I was frustrated. So one night, I already have my list. I'm going to take a week off from jiu-jitsu and figure this shit out. And I got a call from Burke Kreischer, of all people. And he goes, hey, man, I'm doing a spot at fucking Flappers tonight. What are you going to do? And I go, nothing. He goes, why don't you come do a spot with me? I went down there, and I was at the light at Victory and Magnolia. And I look over to the side, and I see Legacy Jiu-Jitsu. And I said, that's my friend, Alberto Crane. And I go, I can't go there. This fucking killer's there. Again, fear kicked in. I went over the fucking bridge, parked at Flappers, went, did my set. On the way back, I made a U-turn and parked in front of Alberto's school at 11:30 at night. And I looked in there, dog, and I got so intimidated just looking at the place.
You pulled in at 11:30 at night?
I got by in yourself? My car and looked in through the glass. He probably got me on tape. Who's that fat guy? I looked at the kickboxing
with bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, you know, this is how scared I am, man. And I got back in the car and I made a left. And I waited till the next morning. I went on their website. And they had class every day at 12 o'clock. And guess what that told me? I have no more excuses.
Yeah.
They got me. I timed it. It was 13 minutes from my house. I could leave at 20 to fucking 12 and be there, stretch out. And I've been consistent. 2 to 3 days a week since January 4th. I only gave myself 6 more months doing jiu-jitsu. I said, if I don't get it together in these next 6 months by August, I'm quitting. And I love it more than I ever have. If I didn't have all that shit to do today, I would have gone again today. That's my addiction right now. And I'm not losing weight, but I'm getting more. Like, I'm losing. You could see
your body's changing.
Yeah, my body's changing. I'm baggier. My shirts are baggier.
That I love that. That's the same thing going on with me at this new kettlebell place. It's, and you always used to say that you have to do different things to change your body up, to trick your body up. And bro, I've been fat my whole life. So I had people, everybody would tell me, oh, you need to do this to lose weight. You need to do that. And I just got great at just yesing them, but not even listening at all. And you were always big on, can't just do the elliptical, can't just do the elliptical. And I think the reasoning, that's a good advice, but I think the reasoning behind it is different for fat people. Because for me, it's not to shock my body. It was, if I had never done jiu-jitsu, I would never have done kettlebells and found something that I actually... Me enjoying something athletic is never supposed to happen.
Right. It's not your vocabulary.
In a million universes, that's not going to happen. But that's what I think it is you have to go out. If I was 300 pounds again, I would tell myself, just try a bunch of different shit. Because a lot of places have the one-week free trials. I would just do 10 of those things because you'll find one thing that you fucking like. And now, kettlebells at 8 in the morning doing, or at 9 in the morning doing 6 get-ups, and then today was killer. We did get-ups, then we did clean, swing, clean, press, squat. We did that 5 times on each side, 4 times. Oh, Dave's a fucking man. He's the best. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Like, through the third set, I wanted to stop. When that was done, I was like, that would have been a good workout. But because everyone else was in the class.
How long are his classes taking you now? Seriously. 35.
It changes.
20 to 35.
No, there's some that are longer. There's some that are 45 to 50, which are... But he does some movement stuff every once in a while, which is hard as fuck. Like, we'll do push-ups up and down the gym, like these push-up walks. But it's usually between 35 and 40, which every time I look at my phone to see what time it is, because he doesn't have a clock, I'm not disappointed, but I'm like, oh, well, this could have gone a little bit longer, and we could have done a couple more swings.
No more phone in there. That's it.
Oh, no, I don't have my phone with me at all.
I don't call you. Gives a fuck.
Oh, no, I just have it because I don't want my phone overheating the car. That's all.
Put it under your sweater. Don't look at it no more.
Oh, no, I don't look at it ever. I'm just saying after the class.
Oh, after the class. Oh.
When I'm going to do that, and it was cool today because there's a new girl now. She just started. She's doing
what you were doing 4 weeks ago. Right. You're not the low man on the totem pole.
Yeah.
That's gratifying to a degree. Like, even for me, like when I first started going to Alberto Crane's place, Legacy, if I could do the warm up,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty much happy. Like, I'm the type of guy that sets little goals. So, in my mind, like I was telling the guy, I did drills yesterday. I went to the drill class from 11 to 12. Like, I asked me why I got into jiu-jitsu, and I told him, I said, when I come in here, I go for little victories. If I could get somebody in half guard, that's a victory. If I could get somebody in, never mind the submission is never even on my mind right now.
Just the position.
Just the position. If I get to that position, I did really well today. If I go in there 3 days in a row and you're a blue belt, and I can't pass your guard, on the fourth day I pass your guard, I'm doing great. I finally figured it out.
Do you ever celebrate in your head? Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No celebrations make me stronger in all the other aspects of my life. I know for a fact this times I'm on stage, and because of what's going on with my jiu-jitsu confidence, I might turn a set around where I never would turn that set around 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, so you doing well in jiu-jitsu is giving you confidence in
because
that
it's making me retain my guard. In jiu-jitsu, no matter what happens, guess what? Just go back to your guard and you got this guy. Now that gives you another set of opportunities. Same thing with comedy. If you're blowing it, hold your ground. Take a deeper breath of fresh air. They're not going to say nothing to you. Keep a smile on your face. Keep a breath of fresh air. And start from scratch. And think about your words all over again. And this is what jiu-jitsu has been teaching me. It's a shame I learned it at the age of 50. The damage I could have done in life if I would have learned that by the age of 35. That no matter what's going on in your life, retain your guard, hold him by his collar, hold his sleeve, and breathe. Breathe, and all of a sudden, you're right fucking there. Little Tony Bennett on a Monday afternoon. We've been talking for a while, Lisa. What the fuck, guy? Thank you.
be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart. Somebody twice as smart as I. A somebody who will swear to be true as you used to do with
me. What do you think about that, cocksuckers?
Oh, someone gave that to us on vinyl, didn't they?
What's that?
Don't you have that on vinyl now?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that on vinyl.
Did I bring it with me? Yes, I did.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes, I did. I'm telling you. Nice people came this weekend. They brought albums. Here, yeah, this was Jesse from Brea. And they sent us two cards in here. Tanya, people fucking came out this weekend in full force. Tony Bennett, I want to be around. I
look,
can't tell.
Look how young he is.
Yeah, this is 1960-something. This has to be 1963. Yeah, because this album came out on my birthday.
Really?
Yeah, check it out. Go ahead, Preston.
Is the name of the album I Want to Be Around?
Yeah. What the fuck you think you're dealing with? You think I would blow smoke up your fucking muffler? I'm your Uncle Joey. I'm not here to bullshit you. When did it come out? Release date.
Let's see here.
I Want to Be Around. Tell me, Bennett, what's the release?
Yeah, 18th of '63.
Who the fuck you think you're dealing with here? Huh?
Wow.
So, let's see who dropped these off. Lee, my man, thank you for all you do. It's been awesome listening to you mature and grow with Joey as your guide. Ha ha. Keep kicking ass with your workouts. I know it sucks from experience, but it's something that will well be worth it.
Thanks
again. Love, Jesse Torres. And then for me, they wrote,
thank you, Jesse.
Been listening to you since Beauty and the Beast. And I remember you seeing at the gig in Corona, California with Jeff Garcia. Thank you for keeping a real dog. With love, Jesse Toto Torres. I love you too. Let me give some shout-outs to Nugganot Farms, who dropped off a fucking tremendous bag of weed. David and Kristen for dropping off the Allman Brothers. Suavecito Men's Products. DawnOfTheThread.com. Leia Hernandez. Sunny Lighting. I mean, we got some great people, as always. Cleo, Water Boxer, Ooky fucking Spooky. My man Leon, you know. We got Casablanca Joe. We got Joe. We got everybody on there. My girl Tracy. We got my girl fucking Lacey. We got everybody. You know what I'm saying? So
we have a great group of people. It's awesome.
What's up, brother?
We have a great... It's amazing how, like, sometimes when I'm just don't have anything to do, I'll just go on there and start talking. It's amazing how cool these people are.
You know, man, you... What's that expression? You reap what you sow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody hits me up on Twitter, I can see the way they hit me up. If they're being sarcastic, or they're trying to kick me off my raft, or they're being whatever. And then I see them keep popping up, and that's all that matters to me. We keep in touch from time to time. I know who's there, and I usually have a quick knack of just getting them the fuck out of there. You know, they're only going to be around for 5 or 6 fucking days to torment you. You know, we still got Cleo and Waterbox and Leon and Constantine Rain. I mean, these are people that are there. They're there. You know, Joe, Kenyon. These are people that have been there for 5 fucking years with us, banging it out. Jesse Torres. And I know who they are. And every week we get 3 more of those fucking soldiers. That they get it. They get what we're trying to do. There's no smoke and mirrors. There's no goatees. We just talk to you from the fucking heart. You know, last week, I got a lot of emails this week. It's really weird what gets emails. Drug addiction spawns emails. Friendships, when we talk about friendship, I got 40 emails.
Really? Oh, okay.
And fear. Those are our 3 topics of the show that I think the people get the most out of when we talk about those subjects. You know, I just talked about, hey, 53 years old, doing jiu-jitsu for 2 years, scared to walk into a jiu-jitsu school as a grown man. I bought coke from the KKK, and I wasn't scared. Can you imagine not being, you know, being that scared? I had to remove all those fears. I have all these fucking fears, and I remove them little by little, whether it's the acupuncture. I'm supposed to go in for a needle for the fucking allergies. They're supposed to take a drop of blood out. Those are the ones that are the worst. I'm just going to take one drop. Tell me you're going to take two tubes and I won't be able to see for an hour. Those are easy when they just pop the fucking gun. But these little one drops, I guarantee the chick uses a big needle and I faint. So I'm going to have to either go there tomorrow or the fucking next day. But those are the most, those are the three or four hard. We have probably music that are hard-hitting topics or... But this week I got a lot of people calling me and sent me emails with the same thing that you had going on. Not knowing where you stand with somebody, you know. Those were the themes I was getting the emails from. Where do you know where you stand with somebody and how to sustain a friend, you know, for that long. This morning I called Timmy. I called Roger. I called James. I called DeVillo back to back to back to back to back.
Jesus.
And these are people I know for 30 years. You know, I called him at 5:30, 6. Timmy didn't pick up. He called me back, but I was on the phone with James. And then I had to leave the fucking house and go meet those guys to write and whatnot. But if you want to be a friend, if you want friends, you got to be a fucking friend. You got to get out there. You know, this year we had a birthday party for me. Me, you, my daughter, and my wife. You know, was I upset? No, because I don't go to birthday parties. So right. Why the fuck would people come to mind? I didn't even tell nobody. I mean, it wasn't really a birthday party. You know, what you want, you'll get. If you want solid fucking people around you, if you act solid, you'll get solid people around you. I always have a knack of that, letting motherfuckers know at one point that I'll die for you. If we get down right now and we start shooting, I'll pull the gun out and I'll shoot with you. As long as you don't rat me out, I'll shoot with you. You know, and once people know that, they're like, okay, now I know how I got to act around this guy. Or, you know what? I don't want to be around this guy because I don't want that much commitment. I don't want that much commitment. You know, when my mom was in a heyday, whenever my mom made a score or hit a number, she would throw people money. And she would always tell me, I know when somebody is acting weird because they won't take the money because they know that someday they're going to have to give them that money back and they won't want. When I make a score, I always try to buy dinner for somebody. I always try to do this. I always try to do that to balance it out because the earth always takes its vig. Always remember that, dog. The earth takes its vig whether you want to or not. They're like the IRS. You pay for everything in this life. You know, I buy you lunch, you buy Paula lunch.
Right.
You follow me? It all goes down. Joe Rogan buys me lunch. I buy you lunch. You buy Paula lunch. Paula buys a mother lunch. Nothing is free. Nothing is free. And it's continual. And it keeps going. And then someday somebody will buy my daughter lunch. And that's how this chain goes. You know, somebody needs and they do without, you throw them a handout. I hate when people know you're broke and they give you a loan. You're not going to get that money back. So don't call a fucking loan. You know, you give me $4,000, that's a loan. I have to pay you back. But you come to my house with a grand, don't bother me for a year or two. You give me a grand. Why do you think you give me a grand? Because I'm fucking over here floating with $100 bills? Just give it to me. Just give it to me. Just give it to me and move on. And it'll make you feel better. It'll make me feel better. And you just gave the earth a vig.
Like in the, for karma. I mean, that's...
Sometimes you got to pay a vig. And this vig of ours keeps fucking rolling. You know how many fucking steak dinners Joe Rogan has bought me? More than my fucking mother in 15 years. And I'm not talking about Chuck E. D's steak wagon, a fucking sizzler, you get diarrhea for fucking 6 weeks. I'm talking about $80 fucking steaks. So whenever I get an opportunity to buy somebody a fucking steak, I buy them a steak. Because I know what it is to get a fucking steak. You follow me? To be a good friend, you got to understand those rules of life. There's always a vig. If he turns out to be a scumbag and does, who gives a fuck? You still paid your vig.
You did something very nice this weekend, and I was supposed to come on Saturday to Brea, and you said no, dude. Like your wife, you said Paul wouldn't come and say I'm going to go with my friends. Why put that in your life? And I was a little bit disappointed at first. I really like going to the shows, and it's a lot of fun. And who wouldn't like getting high?
Because no woman wants her man to leave the house to be with another fat fuck. Okay, no
and woman. It made her whole weekend.
Listen, why create a beef where there ain't one? Why would I, only a bad friend would go, you have to come, fuck your girlfriend, fuck her. That's not who you want around. When you get in the car with that person, you really got to think about what's his best interest. I know when somebody's getting taken care of, and I know when somebody's not getting taken care of. And you're not going to leave your girlfriend to hang out with some dumb fat fuck to do comedy in Brea 4 hours in your apartment. It just doesn't seem right. Comedy store's there? Yeah, let's go down there. On the way back, we'll stop and surprise her with tacos. Nobody gets in the shit wagon.
Right, and she wasn't mad at all Thursday night. I was just high and paranoid.
Yeah, no, you're high and paranoid. I don't believe in creating.
But you're right. It's like, why? Like, I could have gone down, and that's fine. But, and now it turns out her mom is actually having a procedure this week, so I'm not going to see her next weekend. So.
Never, ever, ever. I ruined the relationship. I pretty much ruined my own relationship as a young man. I paid for a deal. I lost a daughter from it. I'm not saying I fucked up also, but I'm the king of fucking up a relationship. You want to fuck up a relationship? Come see me. I'll give you all. I'll tell you exactly how to do it. I'll tell you how to pee in her drawer. I'll tell you how to take out the garbage.
Did you pee in her drawer?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying, I'll get you thrown out of the house. You want me to get you thrown out of the house? I'll get you thrown out of the house in 3 fucking weeks. Send me an email. I'll get anybody thrown out of the house in a week. Send me an email. I'll give you step-by-step instruction how that person will never call you again.
Oh, no.
If that's what you want.
Yeah, that's not what I want.
But because I lost somebody, a wife, that I thought at the time was sacrilegious. Maybe I wasn't in love with her as much as I wanted, but I always believed in my heart I would fall in love with her. I'll teach you how to get rid of somebody if you want. I'll teach you how to get rid of 2 people. But I'll also teach you how to keep them. I'm fucking hard on my wife, man. Sometimes me and my wife don't see eye to eye. But every opportunity I can tell her I love her and I can do something nice for her, I do it. This morning I got up with a problem. I told her what my problem was, and she goes, I was going to take Mercy to the zoo anyway. I'll go to yoga tomorrow, and I'll cover for her on Saturday. And that's why she's my wife, and that's why I'll be in a casket, and she'll still be my wife. Because I know how to keep things together. I could have got up and told her what she was going to do, like I used to 20, 30 years ago. I didn't. She saw what I was doing. She saw that at 7 o'clock, I was already ready and fucking out the door. So she goes, what's going on with you? I told her. I said, I was in a bind. I got to write this thing. I've never done this before, and I really want to do a good job. And if the babysitter's watching her, that I got to come over here at 10:30 because she's too crazy for Wanda now. She's too crazy, Mercy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got to be in the other room at least. To give her. Then I take her out, you know, if I'm going to get her. So I said, can you bail me out? So that means next Sunday I'll go to jiu-jitsu. Next Monday I'll take Mercy. And I'll take Mercy all day. And even though I want to go to jiu-jitsu, and even though I want to go see this guy, and even though I got to go to a weed store, I got to cover Mercy because that makes my wife happy. You follow what I'm saying to you? So I know how to keep things together. If I know you wanted to go see me do comedy, I wouldn't have kept you at home. But I just called you and told you the truth. Why? You've been with her all day. I could see if she's going to go home. She wants to go home to do something with her cousin. Then come on. Let's get some weed. Let's get some stars. We'll drive on the 60. I'll play loud music. I'll beep at people. We'll giggle like assholes on the way home like we always do when we beep.
Right.
You know, but I didn't know about the procedure. I knew nothing. I thought you were going to see her again. And I know during the week you don't see her. So if you leave her for 4 hours, like I said, if it was the Comedy Store and there was like a fucking dessert store in Hollywood that we could stop with, the fucking Jews, the Hebes over on that fucking really good place I took you to where they're Israeli, where they sell machine guns behind the counter on Sunset.
Aroma.
They got the fucking dessert. See if we stop over there and get a nice dessert, but by the time you get to Studio City, it'll be Ugats.
Right.
But then, you know, that's how you do it. An hour, she could take a shower, read a book, buy herself. Women don't mind that.
And she wouldn't mind the 4 hours, but you're absolutely right.
Fuck you. We would have to leave at 5 and not come back six, for 1.
Whatever it would have been. She was fine with it. She understands. But what you were talking about earlier, like put something out there and you get something back. I did that. I stayed home. And then Sunday I had to go. Steve and I did his podcast. And when I got home, she had cleaned my whole place. I didn't ask her. She's clean, but she doesn't do that. And it was just like, wow. And now that made me happy and I want to do more stuff.
You know, a relationship is a friendship that you put your dick in their ass.
It's, that should be a Valentine's Day court.
You know, a friendship is a relationship that you bang that person. you exchange liquids, you eat ass, you exchange meals, you know, but it's a friendship plus 3D. I didn't know this at 20 fucking five. I was too caught up in that not misogynistic, but that fucking spick fucking world I come from, that stupid mind that I had as a 25-year-old, that machismo, I came from that because that's what I thought was the attitude. That's not the attitude at all, by no fucking means. And that's why, as fucking crazy as I am, and as much as I go off on the cable box and on the cats and how I'm going to kill the cat or whatever, my wife puts up with me because she knows my heart's in the right place. My heart wasn't in the right place when I got married the first time. So I appreciate that you told me the truth, you know, that, yeah, why? Oh, bro, rule number one, especially with your woman, if you like her, why make a beef where there ain't none? You want to go out of the house for an hour to pick up something that articulates her. Or if you make sure you go out to see a friend or some stupid UFC fight. Sometimes I'm sitting there with my wife and I go, honey, you have the baby. Do you mind if I go to John Evans? And she'll go, no, I don't want to see that fight. And I'll shoot the John Evans, watch two fights, but on the way home, I'll stop at Yum Yum Donuts. And I get a Yoo-Hoo. So when I walk in, I got a Yoo-Hoo and a donut. You follow from my wife, so she gets it. She gets it. That's the only way you're going to come back is if you bring her Yum Yum Donuts. But 5 hours, even Yum Yum Donuts won't save you.
Right.
Yum Yum Donuts can't bring you back after you, some woman's been sitting there for five. First of all, she would have been sleeping.
Oh, yeah, she would have been asleep. But we're in a weird place where, like, when you first start dating, and I've never lived with a girl before or ever, like, whenever they're there, you want to spend all your time with them. But now she's fucking, I'm not going to see her at all this summer. She's studying for the bar. So, I'm not going to see her for our anniversary or my birthday.
When's your birthday?
The 20th.
How old are you going to be?
28. I had a panic attack this weekend thinking about that. I know that's young, and I know there's a lot of people out there who are like 28.
But it went fast, Lee.
Bro, I can't believe I'm 2 years away from 30.
Fast. When you were 21.
I met you at, I don't know, I must have been 23.
And I tell people all the time that for a while here, I was doing a show where I would come out here and talk about 10 years ago today. 10 years ago, let me tell you what I was doing. And I got emails from people going, that was fucking crazy. Just to let people know the contrast in your lives.
Jesus.
What was I doing? What is it right now?
2016.
All right, so it's March.
April 4th.
April 4th. I'm sorry. That's how high I got on this show. Of 2006. Right now, I was going through one of the toughest periods of my life. Emotionally. I was lost. The longest yard had been out almost a year, and all the things that were supposed to happen did not happen. And it was just fucking traumatizing, Lee. It was traumatizing. This was the beginning of 10 years ago right now. This was the beginning of a funk that lasted till I had just gotten throat surgery. Yeah. I just got neck surgery.
The ball?
The fat ball.
Okay.
I was recovering. I wasn't feeling good about myself. I was not healthy by no means. Not even in the ballpark, guys. Every time I walked into the doctor's office, they wouldn't let me leave then until my blood pressure went down. They'd give me the extra medication for me to walk out.
Really?
Yeah, I was walking around at 180 or 160 in those days. Now I'm walking around at 150. Over 80, and after an hour, I'll go down to 130. That's how bad a shape I was in. 10 years ago, right now, March of 2006, if I think, because Carlos and Joe had just had their beef, and I didn't stop doing blow till 2007. So that last year before I stopped doing blow was my year of just mental. I didn't know what I was going to do with my wife. Me and my girlfriend at the time weren't doing so well. We were at the 6-year mark, and we had just gotten into out of a bad hole, and we were going right back into another cash-wise.
Oh, no. What was happening?
I got on the blow, and now it was from the longest yard money. Now my resistance had gone up from the blow. So now I was doing $120 a night.
A night?
$120 a night on a minimum. 4 nights a week. That tears into your fucking house, Jack.
Oh, my God. Of course it does. That's like $500 a week.
It's $2,000 a month. That's without weed.
And food and rent.
So that was the beginning of my hell. So see, a lot could happen in 10 fucking years. You know, you were just turning 18. That's it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, I was just about to graduate.
That's how fast it went. Like, if you close your eyes and go, okay, from the time I met Joe Diaz, you got a podcast, you shot a documentary, you did fucking Lee's World, you did three sets of t-shirts, you started your own podcast, you got a movie podcast with Ramos, you got a girlfriend. That's a lot.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time. You've done a lot. That's a...
I said yesterday, I wish I had written a journal as a kid. I wish now I had started a journal when you and I got together. That would have been amazing. But I got this email from this guy who said he's... And actually, you might want to do it. It's a brilliant idea. For his twin sons, he's doing... Every day, he's doing a journal for them about what they did and who they saw and what... And, like, and so, like, when they're 18, they're going to get, like, their childhood. And I was like, wow, that's... Looking back on all that stuff, now... Like, when I thought of 28, I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? 28? I moved here 22, 23, just ready to... I don't know what I was going to do. But now I'm 28.
And before you know it, you're 32.
Oh, no.
Then you're 36. Then you remember 40. Then you hit 42 and you start having some fucking doubts. You really do. You really fucking do. Because you figure 40... Yeah, look at it. I didn't even know the number. 42, that was what? 11 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you start realizing, like, what? I got married again, which I never thought I would get married again. I mean, a lot has happened in 10 years, that from 2006. So that's what you have to do from time to time. And really reevaluate what you were thinking about. Like, that's scary even to me to think about it. In 2006, I was not married. I did not have a child in my future. A podcast was not even close to happening. There was nobody coming to my shows. There was no Twitter. There was no nothing. There was maybe MySpace. And look at what's happened in 10 years. So if you're 26 right now, start fucking thinking. Start thinking about how fast this fucking goes, man. This is a journey that goes fucking fast. I got back from Paducah last Sunday. I blinked and I was picking her up at the fucking airport. She even said the same thing. These were the fastest four fucking days of our lives. I thought I was going to miss her and it was going to be slow. It was so fucking busy. It was so fucking busy last week. I didn't even know where to start or where to end.
Do you still feel... Like, what age do you feel? Because it just feels to me like... Kind of like what you just said. It feels to me like I got here, put my head down, and started working. And now I'm going to be 28 in July. And it's like, what are you talking about?
How old do I feel right now?
Yeah.
I feel better now than when I did at 40.
Wow.
Those 2 years, 3 years, were the longest year when I was 418, I couldn't go up those stairs at the three floors, and every time I went to the doctor was a surprise, and there were some scary fucking issues. I feel better now. You know, every time you do 10 push-ups at ads, you know, now I go, I could do the warm-up at jiu-jitsu, and I think about me as a 53-year-old, and the warm-up that I'm doing, and how I'm surviving it, and, you know, I'm fine. I'm going to be fine. You know, age is what you know, if you surround yourself with old people, you're going to get old.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get young. I'm not doing face jobs. I don't wear young clothes. I don't wear young sneakers. I don't do young things. I'm an old fucking man, and I accepted it. Now, it's not being old. It's staying young in your mind. It's knowing what the trends are.
Oh, I'm like a six-year-old in my mind.
I don't want people to think that, you know, I don't want somebody to say to me, do you know what? And I'm not keen on all the computer stuff if it wasn't for you. You know, yeah, I do the Facebook and the Twitters and shit like that, but I don't really, I'm not keen on, like, all of them. I'm not really trying that hard to, I like the Twitter. It keeps the messages short. And I like the Facebook, and we move from fucking there. But if I got to take pictures all day and put them up, I can't
Snapchat
do that.
Snapchat stories.
Yeah, I don't want to do none of that shit. I'm too busy in my day. Who are the sponsors today? Let's start with Texture. I love these motherfuckers. My wife just went to Paducah, and she said the baby fell asleep, and she was very happy that she had downloaded the texture because she got to read some magazine or whatever. You know, it's not a bad, you know, I don't read that many magazines as much as I used to, but my wife still does. So this was always great for her, plus she says that they highlight certain stories, so, you know, listen, thanks to pizza, we all binge eating. Thanks to Netflix, we're all binge watching. But now with texture, you can start to binge read. Trust me, it's all about one thing. When it comes to magazines, you know what you like, and the texture, you can with texture, you can get all the magazines you want in one super convenient place. Texture has completely reimagined magazines, giving you the articles and stories you really want all in one place, plus interactive features, videos, and recommendations just for you. The Texture app lets you tap into the world's most popular magazines anywhere, anytime, using your smartphone or tablet. Breeze through hundreds of your favorite magazines, including back issues, and pick the articles that interest you the most, all right? Texture has made it easy to find articles you care about. I don't just get to read, you know, Sports Illustrated and...
And that's the issue, because it's hard to get all those magazines.
It's hard to get all of them all together.
Texture, you have them at your fingertips.
The Texture editorial team recommends content for me every day, plus I can dive deeper into personalized collections. Do me a favor. Sign up for Texture right now and gain insider access to all the content from the world's best publications. The best part, Texture's offering my listeners right now, that means you fucks, a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. You'll gain immediate entry into all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. Again, that's texture.com/Joey. The Texture app is entirely digital, so it's super environmentally friendly way to consume the best magazines and articles. Again, start binge reading for free right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. How's that for you, you fucking savages? And I tell you, if my wife likes it, she's a pain in the ass. But if she likes it, then you'll be fine, all right? Listen, whether you're wearing suits or sweats, you spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring like mine used to be. MeUndies changed that for me, and it's going to change it for you too, all right? Every pair of MeUndies is made from substantially sourced modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. When I work out, this is all I wear is MeUndies because it keeps my balls dry. Nothing can describe the fit and feel of MeUndies, but once you try them, you'll understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, they're free, no questions asked. MeUndies has dozens of styles and limited edition prints to help you make a statement with your underwear. Whether anyone can see them or not, you go to some girl's house, you want to sling dick, you got to have nice underwears. So here's what I'm going to do. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada, and you can save up to $8 a pair with MeUndies subscription plan. Get the subscription or get a single pair. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey. Again, that's MeUndies.com/Joey for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/Joey. You're going to love these underwear. Also, there's something I forgot to tell you people here. Where's the texture thing I had here? Because I forgot to tell you people some of the magazines you got on there with texture. All right, you got Vegetarian Times. You got Woman's Health. You got Yoga Journal. You got Truck Trend. You got The New Yorker. You got The Essence. You got ESPN Magazines. You got Men's Health. Go to texture.com right now /Joey. Also, before I forget, one of the favorite things that we highlight here, because whenever they send me a box, I tell you what, man, I like these. I really enjoy the Blue Apron stuff, okay? This week, let me just tell you what Blue Apron has this week, all right? Meatball ragout. This is for the single, for the two-person plan. Meatball ragout, barbecue spice salmon salad.
Oh.
And for the family plan, you got panko crusted chicken,
nice.
Swiss cheeseburgers on English muffins, and holly garlic cod with bok choy, okay? It's okay. You can admit it. The last thing anybody wants to do after work is wait in line at a grocery store, schlep home, and cook a complicated meal. Then you got to clean up and all that garbage. And I'll tell you what, expensive, unhealthy takeout is hardly better. That's where there's a new service called BlueApron.com. One of my favorite all-time companies, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because they deliver farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to my house. I'm a fucking moron. But because of Blue Apron, it helps me create a healthy, happy, handcrafted meal at home without going to the grocery store. And for less than $10 per meal, you ready? $10 per meal, Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. No trips to the grocery store and no waste from unused ingredients. Plus, this is the best thing about Blue Apron. You learn to fucking cook. You really learn how to cook. And stuff that you will never, you know, anybody can cook a cheeseburger, whatever. These are specialty ingredients that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for date night if you want to sling dick, cooking with friends, and they even offer a family plan with kid-friendly ingredients so the whole family can eat well and have fun preparing the meals together. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving and so tasty you never know. Cooking takes about a half hour, shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new, all right? Like the one I just told you. I mean, come on, where are you going to get meatball ragout and panko-crusted chicken? Plus, you learn how to make that stuff. They work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and Blue Apron's experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals. Like I said, the barbecue spiced salmon or the Swiss cheeseburgers on English muffins. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness, all right? So do me a favor. Blue Apron is the better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free by going to blueapron.com/Joey. My treat. First two meals, they're on fucking Lee the Jew here when you go to blueapron.com/Joey. That's how much we love you. Again, another shout-out to Texture, MeUndies, and blueapron.com, all right? Thank you for watching the show today. I love you motherfuckers with all my heart. I'm going to be home for a while, but Helium, where am I going to be? In Buffalo, April 20th, 1st, and my man Crackers in Indianapolis, April 28th. We ain't fucking around. I love you guys. Another shout out to Lee, all my sponsors, Texture, MeUndies, and Blue Apron, and for everybody who listened to the fucking tremendous show today. I love you motherfuckers, and we'll be back Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock B Square or whatever the fuck it is. Stay black, cocksuckers.
Go to texture.com/Joey right now, and they're offering our listeners a free trial on their brand new app, Texture. You'll get immediate entry into all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. That's texture.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now to get 20% off of your first order of all of their great underwear, t-shirts, socks, sweatpants, all of their great products. And shipping is always free in the U.S. and Canada. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. That's MeUndies.com/Joey. And go to BlueApron.com. Blue Apron sends gourmet recipes and all of the fresh ingredients you need to make them right to your door. Our listeners get their first two meals for free. Go to blueapron.com/Joey and start cooking incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com/Joey.
Yeah, people complain about this Ustream.